First of all, I'd like to say thank you to all of you who prayed for me while I went to Nepal. Really sensed the Lord leading and directing in that. Really had a wonderful time there. I think Raymond and I both agreed it was one of the best conferences that we've been in. Probably tell you a little more about it later, but it was way back in the mountains. Until a few years ago, there wasn't even a road that went to this area. There was an airport there, but there was not a road. And the road that goes there now is very treacherous. They're only allowed to drive in the daytime. And even the Nepali people get scared riding on that road. When David said, "There's a step between me and death," that's how riding on that road is, because you're about this close to the edge, and then from there it's down thousands of feet to the river. So, just a really interesting time. Just share this. I had thought I knew what I was going to share on the last day there, and that morning as I was praying and seeking the Lord, He very clearly gave me something different to share that day. And it just really was a good time, a meaningful time. I feel like it was of the Lord, and different ones expressed appreciation for what was shared. So thanks again for praying for that. This morning I want to, not getting it up here on the screen, James, or Joshua, I mean. I want to share a message that partly came out of what I was experiencing and sharing there in Nepal, but it's also something that has been on my heart for some time already. And I was thinking about Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, where Jesus is teaching us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Why do you think Jesus started with that? Why do you think Jesus started with those things for us to pray? "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." I'd like to suggest to us this morning that unless we have already come to the place where we're willing to say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we might as well not even pray. So I'd like to just have us think about that this morning. Why do I pray? Let's just hear. Why do we pray? What are some reasons that we pray? Okay, we're interceding, praying for someone else's needs.
Protection.
For protection.
Find strength to build that relationship.
Okay, to grow in our relationship with the Lord.
Worship.
Okay, for worship.
Sometimes because I want something. Sometimes because I want something.
Okay. Sometimes because I want something. Good answers. There's not a right or wrong answer about why we pray. What do I pray for? If you would keep a log of your prayers, would there be one specific thing that you most pray for? Okay, thanking God for what He's done. I'm guessing that the majority of our prayers would be praying for something that we want. I see a lot of heads nodding and smiles. I think that's probably accurate. Here's something to think about. Have I perfected prayer if I get to the place where every prayer I pray is answered? Is that? I finally got it down. Now I know. I know how to pray. I've got it to where, man, when I pray for something, it happens. I've got it perfected. I'd like to have you think about how much of my thinking about prayer is related to that. Am I constantly measuring and analyzing and trying to come up with this formula that if I say the right thing in the right way on the right day to God, it's going to happen? Do I, on the other hand, feel like prayer is wasted, like I'm a failure, if I don't get the answers I want to my prayers? I've expressed that myself, and I've heard a lot of people express that. Well, I might as well not even have prayed. Didn't do any good anyway. I might as well just save my breath. Didn't happen. Is the prayer of faith demanding or submitting? Here's a good one. In our day to day, many people look at the prayer of faith as being able to go in front of God and saying, God, you promised this, you got to do it. Or is the prayer of faith submitting to God and His will? Now, here's a question that I think is all important in this whole matter of prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So whose will do I really want? Really? Let's just get down honest with myself and ourselves. Whose will do I really want? We can cry our eyes out to the Lord with the intent that He give us what we want. As human beings, we get kind of good at that. Kids can have their ways of getting things from their parents. Sometimes they can stomp their feet and try to get it, and sometimes they can sit there and cry and hope that finally mom or dad gives in, right? And as adults, we get to be bigger boys with bigger toys and act a lot the same, right? And so oftentimes the way we've been able to get things from our parents is the way we go to God to try to get something from Him. Okay? So if we've cried our eyes out to our parents and it's worked, we'll cry our eyes out to God. If we've stomped our feet and had a little hissy fit and we got it from our parents, then we're going to do that with God, most likely, unless we've learned better along the way. Is prayer surrender to God? I'd like to suggest this. Something that came to me while I was praying and studying there in Nepal. Prayer is more about finding out God's will than receiving my desires. I want you to think about that statement. And I want you to think about how it relates to thy will be done. I want you to think about how it relates to your prayer life. And I want you to think about how this all fits together. If I am desiring God's will more than anything else, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, if that's the first part that I pray, and I mean it with all of my heart, where does that put me? That puts me on my face in surrender, right? Not necessarily literally, but at least figuratively. So let's just look at this a little this morning. We need a desire for God's will. John 7:17. If any man will do, this is talking about desire. If anybody wants to do, has this longing desire to do God's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. This is the words of Jesus. Now here's the words of David. I delight, Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. This is what David said. Now, you and I can say anything we want to. And it may mean something, it may not. But let's just look at Acts chapter 13 verse 22, and here's where Paul is going back and reviewing some of the things that have happened. When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, of whom also God gave testimony. Now it means something, right? David said it, it's okay. But when God says it about somebody, you can count on it, right? God gave this testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Wow. Would God say that about you? Would he say it about me? I found this person. And their desire is to fulfill my will. That's amazing. That's amazing. Because there's not too many people like that. Most of us, when it comes to prayer, we start out with, my will be done. And God, here's how you need to do it. Or at least here's how I hope you do it. Here's how I want it done. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, he's talking about an attitude. What do we want? Do we want our own way? Do we want the way that is like everybody else around us? Or are we committed, sacrificed to God, surrendered to God, desiring His will? That's when we can understand His will. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service, like men pleasers, you know, not just doing it when you're seen or to be seen, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We can do the will of God two ways. We can do it because we have to, or we can do it because we want to. My mother used to always tell us, when you want to, you don't have to. Mom, do we have to do that? If you want to, you don't have to. You know what? That's what God's looking for in us. Want to. Just a simple want to. Lord, I want to do your will. Now, this is the will of God. I want us to look at these, and I want us to see these are some things that the Scripture clearly states as being the will of God for us. And I want us to ask ourselves, do I honestly want the will of God? And am I living that way? Am I showing that? John chapter 6, verse 40. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is God's will that everyone that sees Jesus Christ lifted up would come to Him. So we know when we go out to share with kids club families or whoever we share with, when we share with them Jesus Christ, we know it is God's will for them to come to Him. We know that. We don't have to ask Him whether it's His will or not. We may ask Him some things about that will, but that is His will. He stated it very specifically, Jesus Himself. Now, here's some in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. God desires for us to be cleansed and purified, that ye should abstain from fornication. It's God's will for us to stay away from sexual sin. We don't have to ask Him about that. He's already told us very clearly. This is His will. Is that something I want? Or do I want what I want? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God. Do I want the will of God? Or do I want my own will? I want a pity party. I want everything to go the way I want it to go. No. He said, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. For so is the will of God. This is the will of God. That with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. There are only a few things. Now, all Scripture is the will of God. Don't misunderstand me. But when it's stated very specifically and very distinctly what the will of God is, we need to pay close attention. And so he says, look, it's God's will that God's people, doing God's will, put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He didn't say by putting them down, by arguing them out, or any of these things. He says by well-doing we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The one Dana shared, the guy said, his friend said, you're a sissy, you're scared, whatever. By well-doing, he put to silence. Very, very important, very clear. Again, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Sometimes Peter makes it clear that suffering is the will of God. Suffering for Christ. And when that is God's will, we need to trust Him. Just surrender to Him. Because He's got it. He's not slipping that that's happening. God hasn't left that that's happening. It's important. These things are the will of God. Now, Jesus showed us how to desire God's will. One of the things that Jesus did when He came to earth was showed us in actual life, right in front of us as humanity. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He showed us that. He lived that out. So that's something that He has given to us to help us to understand. And so Hebrews comes along, chapter 10, verse 7, and he's quoting from back in the Old Testament. He said, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That was his purpose on earth. Now we need to ask ourselves, could that be said of you and I? I'm here to do God's will. Is that something that can be said about me? John chapter 17, verse 18. Jesus is saying, look, just like you, Father, sent me into the world, I am sending these into the world. What does that mean? If I look at what Jesus is saying, I think it means that we desire the will of God. Thy will be done. Okay? John 17, verse 26. I've declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. My heart, my desire, my longing to do your will, God, can be in all of my children, all of those who follow me. That's Jesus' desire for us. That's part of what he suffered and died for, so that we can experience him in us and we can desire to do the Father's will. Now, I want us to just look at a few verses here. A call for us to move higher. And when I'm talking about moving higher, I'm talking about moving from the place where we want to do our will totally, or we want to do our will but not all the time. We kind of want to do God's will, to moving to a place where our desire is to do the will of God in all of life. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Peter's saying, look, when God transformed you, and I thought it was interesting that both of the men Dana referred to said, God, if you'll change me, I will do your will. That's what God wants. Exactly what he wants. He wants us to desire his will. Not to live the rest of our life here on earth in our own will, in our own desire. That word lust means desires. Our own desires, the desires of men. You might say, I don't have lust. You have desires. Every one of us has desires. Do we live according to our desires or to the desires of God? Desires in themselves are not right or wrong. Lust oftentimes has a connotation of something very wrong. But that's not really what this word is saying. What he's saying is we live in the desires of our flesh. The desires of men. And we all have those desires. And we all know whether we're living according to our desires or whether we're living according to God's desires. Whether we're saying, Lord, your will be done. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world passes away, and all the desires, all the lusts thereof. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. I like that. I like that. It tells me there's something that I can do with my life that will be meaningful, that will be purposeful, that will be lasting, that will be enduring, that will make a difference from now into eternity. We have that option. The world passes away. Mankind passes away. Our bodies die. And our desires leave. If we followed our desires, then we'll be dealt with accordingly. If our desire has been to do the will of God, and we've done that, then there's eternal reward. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I think this is important as well. Just because we do the will of God does not mean that things are going to happen in our lives the way we want them to happen. You know, this isn't a lever. This isn't something where we're bargaining with God and say, okay, God, I'll do your will if you'll do this and this for me. No, no. That's not where we're at. It's God, your will be done. And then God can bless that. And sometimes the promises don't come for a long, long time. We need to be ready for that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21. That He'd make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is working in us to do His will. I like that. It's just not all up to me. I have a choice. But if I commit to God that I want His will to be done in my life, then God is able to work to do His will. That's interesting. That's so important for us. When we commit, when we start our prayer with, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, then God begins to do His will. Because we've committed to Him. Okay? Now, I want us to see how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. The Holy Spirit is praying for us according to the will of God. Do you think those prayers are effective? Are they meaningful? Absolutely. Absolutely they are. The Holy Spirit understands the will of God. He prays the will of God over our lives. That is so meaningful to me, so rich. He's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, how many of the Holy Spirit's prayers do you think go unanswered? Why? Because He's asking in the will of God, according to the will of God. And so His prayers are heard, right? Pay attention. That's what we're thinking about. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Through Him, through Jesus, we both have access. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. We both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We are able to pray as Jews or Gentiles, as any person on earth. We are able to pray and come with access to God as we seek His will. That's so beautiful. That's so meaningful. We have that opportunity. Now, I want us to just notice a couple of prayers. Both of these come from Paul. but the one he mentioned someone else that's praying. But I want us to just pay attention here to what Paul prays for these people. And I want us to just think about it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now look at what who he's praying for. Now look at what he prays. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You think that's the will of God? You think the will of God is for us to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man? Absolutely it is. Paul was praying something that was absolutely the will of God, as he prayed for someone else. We can pray all kinds of things for other people. We can pray for healing. We can pray for all kinds of things. And we're not always sure whether it's God's will or not. But there are some things that we can pray for each other that we know are the will of God. And we can pray them in confidence and know that God is working in that way. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is he praying the will of God? Absolutely. He is praying the will of God for the church at Ephesus. That's a powerful prayer. Just stop and look at that prayer and think about what that would mean if someone was praying that prayer specifically for you. Well, what about if you prayed it for somebody else? It's a powerful prayer because it's prayed in the will of God. Here's Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. Gives his greetings. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He's praying in the will of God. He's praying for these people in Colossae that they could stand complete and being totally in the will of God, committed to God. That's empowering, I would say. If you knew somebody was praying that for you, what would that do for you? If you prayed that for someone else, what might it do for them? And look at what Paul says there in chapter 1, verse 9. It says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I believe that you and I can take these verses and pray them for someone. They're very strong. They're very powerful. They're very effective. Paul laid out his heart. This is what I'm praying. Here's how I pray for you. So maybe the next time somebody the Lord brings somebody to your mind, maybe you could pray, God, I'm praying, I'm desiring that this person be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know you're praying the will of God. There's no doubt that you are praying the will of God for that person. Now, we have access with boldness. I don't want us to think that we need to be timid and bashful when we come to God. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 through 16 tell us that. Seeing we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have not a high priest which can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's not telling us that we need to live off in some la-la land. We need to tell God what is on our heart. God already knows it. We're not hiding it. We need to express to God what we feel. We need to express to God what's going on within us. But that's not where it stops. That's only where it starts. What did Jesus do? Father, if it be your will, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to think about this death. I don't want to think about this suffering. I don't want to think about this agony. I'd like to avoid it. Here's how I'm feeling. But your will be done. Your will be done. So don't think that we have to live off in a la-la land where we don't face reality and don't face our feelings. One of the things I notice about David, he was a man after God's own heart. God said that. But when you read the Psalms, you notice David just pouring it out. Just exactly how he feels. Just exactly what's going on in his heart. But in the end, David says, "That's up to you, God. It's your will that needs to be done." Now, here's some prayer promises. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. "It shall come to pass, before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Be careful. This is true, but it is not true as many people apply it. God is at work having His will accomplished in earth. And His will being accomplished in earth might not mean that I get everything I want. In fact, I'll guarantee you it won't. But it will mean that God gets everything He wants. His will accomplished in earth. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." But let's go to John 14 here where Jesus is talking. "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Jesus clarifies something for us. God stands waiting to give us what we long for if we've started at this point. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Okay? If you ask in my name, under my authority, under my lordship, I think it's so important for us to understand. Here's some more. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Here he says it very, very specifically. "We have this confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears it." When Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, when Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, he knew without a doubt that God heard that prayer because he was praying the will of God. Amen? Absolutely. And we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. He's talking about asking in the will of God. John 15, verse 77. "If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." You see what he says? If you're abiding in me and I'm abiding in you. In other words, if you've made this declaration, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," then you can ask what you will and it'll be done. John 16, 23. "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you will ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." That does not mean at the end of our prayer we say "in Jesus' name." That's not asking in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean that if I say in the name of Jesus, I desire this. That's not what he's talking about. When we come in Jesus' name to the Father, we are coming with the heart of Jesus. We're coming with the character of Jesus. We're coming through Jesus. And Jesus' will was to do the will of the Father. So if we come to God in Jesus' name, it's because we've prayed with our heart, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. When we come to God with that spirit, with that attitude, with that on our heart, God is listening. God hears. Because He knows that our heart is to see His kingdom come, His will be done. Then He's ready to move. Then He's ready to work. As long as it's my kingdom come, my will be done, God's got some other work to do. And it may not be quite so pleasant. It may require some discipline and some pruning and so on in our lives. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Thy will be done. Again, I'd like you to think about, when I come before the Lord in prayer, is it with the purpose of getting something from God, or is it with the purpose of surrender? And I'd like to suggest to you, and to me, I don't misunderstand me. This is, I do not have it down. I'm learning, as you are. This is something for us to think about. I'm not standing up here saying this morning, here it is, take it and go. I'm saying, here it is. Let the Spirit guide you and direct you and show you where you need to go with this. Because I believe that until I come to the place where I surrender to God, when I come and bow before Him and say, Your will be done, then God's ready to hear and listen and ready to work on my behalf or on behalf of the one that I'm praying for. What happened in the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae, God did mighty things through Paul's prayer. But Paul told the church at Ephesus when he was heading to Rome, he said, I know that after I leave, grievous wolves are going to enter and they're going to destroy the flock. Many are going to depart from the faith. They chose not to do the will of God, to do their own will. And as a result, God could no longer lead, and God could no longer be glorified. But in the time when Paul was there and he was praying that prayer over them, God was doing mighty things. So I'd like to challenge us. Let's look specifically for the will of God in the situation that we're praying for. And let's pray the will of God over that situation. It is the will of God that all men come to salvation. So it's never a question whether we should pray for a person's salvation. It's always the will of God that they come to salvation. So just some thoughts that I hope can challenge us and encourage us on to seek the will of God with our whole heart and surrender to the Lord in prayer. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You that You even allow us to come into Your presence. You know how often we desire our own will and have desired in the past. How many times we've chosen our own will over your will. And Lord, we come to you today. We're asking you, Lord, to work in our hearts by your Spirit, to cause us, to grant to us, to grow in our understanding, in our knowledge of your will and of your purpose, and to continue to surrender our lives to that purpose, to that will. I pray your Holy Spirit work in each of our hearts, dear Lord, for that purpose. And we trust you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.